Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're finishing up a series today called Frequency. We've been in the book of John's chapter 10's kind of been our message to launch pad for this series. And Jesus is often spoken parables or stories or metaphors. And one of the metaphors that Jesus talked about is he's the great shepherd and we're the sheep. And so in John chapter 10, let's just dive in. It's on your worship guide. It's also on the screens here. You can also follow along on if you've downloaded our app from a smartphone or a tablet. John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." The sheep listen to his voice. "He calls his own sheep by name." How many of you know he knows your name?
Yeah, that's right.
How many of you know he knows the number of hair on your head, the Bible says? For some of you, that's a big number. For others, it's pretty easy for God to remember. But he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. How many of you know God's word and God's voice is because he wants to lead you somewhere. He wants to guide you and direct you, the Bible says. It says this, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his what? Voice. They know his voice. They follow him because they know his voice. Frequency is God. I want to cut through the noise. I want to tune my ears like an old tuner radio. And I want to tune into your voice so I can hear your voice so I can know which way to go. Anyone here ever need wisdom? You need discernment. You need to know God's wisdom on a situation, an obstacle you're facing in your marriage or your family or raising children or the next step in the decision. Do I retire from the military? Do I uprank my rank to go the next place? It says, but they will never follow, speaking of sheep, a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, I want to pause here for a moment. I want to ask you a question. How well do you recognize God's voice? Because if you recognize his voice, you'll know what the strange voice sounds like. The challenge is if we don't spend time in the shepherd's pasture, we won't hear and learn how to recognize his voice, so we might follow the wrong voice. But if you know the shepherd's voice, you'll follow it and you won't get led by the wrong voice. And see, God doesn't have a speaking problem. We have a hearing problem. And so we're going to talk about cutting through the noise, how to recognize God's voice. 3 weeks ago, we talked about how good it is to have the attitude of our heart in the right place. Because when the seed fell on good soil, the word of God fell on good soil, it produced a crop of 30, 60, and 100 times. We talked about how our heart needs to not be hard. It needs to be soft and ready to hear and respond to the word of God. And a few weeks ago, then we talked about how God whispers. How do we hear the nudges of God? How do we hear that? And if you weren't here for that, download our app or go to our website and listen to the podcast and dive in and say, because the reality is sometimes we want to make it really simple to hear God's voice, but sometimes we don't want to do the work to spend some time in his pasture to recognize his voice. And so today, we're going to talk about how do we know if it's God, the devil, or the pizza we ate. And I think everyone in here, deep down inside, wants to hear God's voice. I just have that thought that you wouldn't be here today if there wasn't something on the inside that says, I really want to go know God's voice. I want to know his direction. I want to know the nuances of God. I want to know where he's moving so I can find and move there. So today we're going to talk about how to hear God's voice. There's a couple books I want to recommend. A few years ago, there's a book written by a gentleman named Bill Hybels called Whisper. And it's on how to hear the whispers of God. I would recommend, it's a great book. In fact, Mark Batterson recently wrote another book called Whispers and Hearing the Whispers of God, another great book. There's a third book I'll recommend. I read it a few years ago, and we kind of took the name Frequency from that book, Robert Morris, who pastors a small church of like 30,000 people, wrote a book called Frequency, and it was how to tune your, how to hear God's voice. And so we really got the idea for calling this series Frequency because of that. Have you ever tried to hear God's voice and you thought it was him, but maybe it wasn't, and you're not sure? I was in Bible college, and I was an RA, so I was a resident assistant over part of a dorm, and we had a guy named Matt, and we didn't know who to put Matt with, because Matt was a little bit awkward. You ever met an awkward person? If you're not awkward, just look at your neighbor right now. They might be the awkward one. But Matt was a little awkward, so we weren't sure. He went through 3 roommates the year before, and he was put in my floor, so it's like, I don't know who to put Matt with until Big Matt walked through the door. And there's a reason, little Matt and Big Matt. I mean, one was like 6'5", and one was like 3'2". And probably higher than that, but in my mind, it was an anomaly, and we put them together. They were great together. They were both a little quirky, and their quirkiness was quirky together. And one day, little Matt knocked on my door about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and he says, "Hey, Mark," he said, I got to tell you something. I was in prayer. God showed me something really, really cool. I said, "What was it?" He says, "He told me who to marry." Now, at this time, I'm thinking like, bro, you got some, yeah. And I said, so tell me about it, Matt. He goes, "Yeah, God told me Kathy Pitcairn." I said, "God has told almost every guy Kathy's the right one for them." And I wasn't sure for him if it was the Holy Spirit or his hormones that said Kathy was the right one. Here's a 20-year-old kid with flaming hot hormones, and she was a beautiful gal. He said, "I'm going to go tell her because God said I'm supposed to marry her." And I said, "Buddy, if God told you, he's big enough to tell her. So keep your mouth shut. And I'm going to pray that ends right now. Lord, I pray that Matt would keep his mouth shut. God gave Matt 2 ears and 1 mouth. Let him listen twice as much as he speaks, Lord." And I prayed over him and thought it was over until the next night, Big Matt knocked on my door. I had little Matt one night. Big Matt knocks on my door. He says, "Mark, I got to share the coolest thing. I was in the prayer room and God told me who I'm supposed to marry." I said, "Who?" "Kathy Pitcairn." I said, I didn't think, in my mind I thought, okay, I either got a problem. Maybe that's the same girl. Both guys, their roommates, think they're supposed to marry the same girl, and God's not polygamist. God doesn't, I'm thinking like, okay, I'm either at the wrong school or they heard the wrong voice. And he said, "I'm going to go," and so I prayed over them. I think the problem that we have is, how many of you know that we desperately want to hear God's voice? And so how do we navigate the voices and for sometimes the feelings? And maybe if you're a young adult, you're dating the hormones. And I always tell people the hormones scream and the Holy Spirit whispers. And so how do you navigate this? And so now here's the deal. You could hear God's one voice one moment and the next moment miss it. Yeah. Jesus asked Peter once, "Who do people say I am?" And what does Peter say? "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says, "Man has not delivered that to you, revealed that to you. That was revealed to you by God himself, because that was a profound statement that God must have revealed to you." And so how many of you know, in one moment he heard God's revelation that was not just a man, he was Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus begins to say, "And guys, they're going to arrest me and they're going to kill me and put me on a cross." And Peter says, "That will never happen." And what does Jesus say? "Get thee behind me, Satan." Same conversation. So how do we navigate this? I hear God one moment, and the next moment, something rises up, and I'm not hearing God. I'm hearing my emotions, my feelings, the pizza I ate, the anchovies, the jalapenos, or whatever, right? Yeah. And so in 1 John, it says this: "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God." Today I want to talk about, how do we test the spirit? How do we test what we feel, test what we hear, test what we sense? How do we begin to have a litmus test to know, is this God's voice, my hormones, my anger, my joy, my passion? How do we know? How do we distinguish between the spirits and to know what God is saying, whether or not they're from God? Proverbs says this, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. There are times things appear to be right, things feel right, but they're not right. How do we test that? So I want to give you four tests today. Four tests to know God's voice, or how to recognize God's voice. Four tests. If you're taking notes, they're also in your worship guide. And I hope some of you are keeping your worship guide and you're filing it away so you can go back and go, oh man, I need wisdom. You can go back to the frequency series and get some biblical foundation for your decision making. File them away. Four tests. The first test is, number one, does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with the Bible? I had a young man in my youth ministry in Tacoma, Washington, that says, Pastor, God told me I'm supposed to be a writer. Now, at this time, he's working for the Job Corps. He dropped out of school in seventh grade. I'd seen some of his writings. He wasn't very proficient in that. And I said, well, great, man. You love English? He goes, Mark, not that kind of writing. God told me I'm supposed to spray paint. He was a graffiti artist. I'm supposed to write on the sides of trains and water towers and buildings to share Jesus with people. I said, that's against the law. He says, but God spoke to me. So I said to him, and God told me to sell marijuana to raise money for missions. He goes, you can't do that. I said, neither did you hear God about writing on trains either. God's not going to ask you to do something that's illegal. God's not going to ask you to do something. I had a young gal come to me once and says, Mark, I feel like I'm supposed to date this gentleman. I'm thinking he is not even loving Jesus. He doesn't serve Jesus. He's far from God. Well, God told me. I said, no, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. God did not tell you to do that. Yeah. What does the Bible say? And I've had, see, some people say, well, Mark, what do you think? And I'm going, what I think is not as important as what his book says. The word of God is important. And in Matthew chapter 19, there was some discussion on whose wife would be whose, and there was kind of some stuff going on. And so some Pharisees in chapter 19 came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife or for any reason? Haven't you read? He replied, what did he do? He pointed them back to the Bible. And we know the Bible says God hates divorce. God does not hate someone who's been divorced. So many people in the church go, well, if that person's been divorced, there's something wrong. Let me just say something right now. God hates divorce. He doesn't hate the person that walked through divorce. God hates drugs. God hates lots of stuff. He doesn't like what it does to people. He doesn't like the pain it causes families. So what does the Bible say? So now someone says, well, Mark, how much makeup should a woman wear? Is it legal? I'm thinking, well, it might be a sin if they don't wear makeup. You know, I mean, Sometimes we want opinions, but what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? And I heard someone say that once, I used to be the tree Bible guy. We'd open it up and I'd circle and I'd underline and I'd highlight. Anyone, your paper Bible is full of highlights and scribbles and underlines and all that. And I heard someone say once, it's not how we mark our Bible, it's how our Bible marks us. We can underline, highlight, scribble, write verses down somewhere else, but that Bible has to change us. And I'm convinced we only know God's voice to the degree that you know and can take counsel from his word. How do you know who God is? From the Bible. And if you don't know the Bible, you're not spending time in his pasture. That's why you have to carve out some space in your busy lives to get into the Bible and begin to understand what God's voice sounds like. It sounds like his word, which was written. In Luke chapter 21, it says, and though all heaven and earth shall pass away, yet my words remain forever, what? True. Friends, biblical literacy is important. You need You might say, well, I'm not a very good reader. Well, then get the Bible on audio. Do something. But how does a young person keep himself pure, the Bible says? By hiding the Word of God in their heart. Give the Holy Spirit and give the Holy One something to work with, because you're packed yourself full of the Word of God. And some of us, we want to know what God's saying, but we haven't opened up His Bible for a while to hear Him speak to us on a consistent basis. So carve out some space. The better you know God's Word, the better you know God. And the better you know God, the better you know His will and His voice. He speaks to you through His Word. You see, I always, when it comes to God's will, I think there's three kinds of will. This isn't your notes, but number one, there's God's directive will. It's His providential will. How many know in the last days, He's going to pour His Spirit upon all flesh, the Bible says. There's things He's going to do with or without our permission or participation. In the last days, there'll be wars and rumors of war. That's His directive will. That's the providence of God. That's going to happen whether we like it or not. How many know there's a lot of stuff He said was going to happen in the Bible, and He didn't ask our opinion on it? That's the directive will of God. That's the providential will. He speaks it and it's going to happen because the Bible said. And then there's God's desired will. His desired will for you, he says in Thessalonians, and that's where you see it is God's will that you should be. Should be, in other words, God desires for us. And one of my favorite verses when I talk to students about purity was in Thessalonians, where it says, it's your will that you should be sanctified. God's word, sanctified, that means holy, pure. That God desires for us to do that, but guess what? We have to have what? A response. The third type of will, and this is where most of us get hung up at, it's our will of desire. God, am I supposed to marry this person? Am I supposed to take this job? Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to go for this new position at work? Am I supposed to live here? Am I supposed to be a doctor? Or am I supposed to be a dentist? Or am I supposed to be a teacher? Am I supposed to be a homemaker? The will of desire. And here's the deal. God's more concerned with the who than the do. He's more concerned. And the Bible tells us the type of who we're supposed to be. Whoville is when you look at the Bible and have the Word of God speak to who God wants us to become. It's not if you're a doctor or a lawyer or a homemaker or a stay-at-home dad or this or that. What matters is the type of person you are, not what you do for a living. And the why is more important than the what. What's your motivation for why you do it? We get hung up on, I want to know God's will for my life. No, really what we get hung up on is, I want to know my direction. I want to know what, it's my will of desires. It's my will of direction. God, I really want to be this. And God, I think we complicate God's will and make it harder than it is. And God goes, I don't think He always cares what we do for an occupation. He cares how we do the occupation we're doing. And why we're doing the occupation we're doing. Does that make sense? So how do you hear God's voice? The first litmus test it's not going to contradict His Word. It's going to be in line with His Word. So get to know His Word. The second filter for the frequency and turning yourself into God's voice is number two. Will it make me more like Christ? Will it make me more like Christ? Now, I remember when I was a kid, the whole WWJD bracelet thing went around the world. How many of you guys remember those days? Yeah. And the whole what would Jesus do? And stop and ask, what would Jesus do? But sometimes we need to stop and ask, okay, if I do this, will it make me more like Jesus? Or will it pull me farther away from God? Sometimes you have to pause, because I'm convinced God's voice is pulling you toward where He's going, because the sheep know how to what? Follow His voice, which means you stay close to the Father. If you're following a voice that takes you the other way, you're following a voice that takes you away from Christ and away from what He wants and calls us to become. Does it make me more like Christ? See, the goal at True North, we say this, we talk about spiritual formation here. It's not discipleship, although it's a discipleship is becoming more like Jesus. But the reality, true discipleship is a disciple reproduces the life of God in someone else. They go make disciples who can be baptized and then train them about what. So spiritual formation is important. And for some of you, the next step for you to become more like Christ is to go through grow track and begin to serve, because that's what Jesus, if you want to become a leader, you must become a servant of all. Jesus came to serve. So for some of you, maybe you're kind of going, what's the next step for my spiritual formation? And it's to begin to get plugged in and committed to a local church, and not once a month or every other week or once every 3 weeks. No, I'm going to come and be committed because I got to grow. And then the next step is life groups. If you're looking for a practical, tangible form, life groups is the home plate of True North Church. Get plugged into a life group. We'll launch them in about 6 weeks. You'll hear more about it. But life groups, jump in. See, we're not interested in doing a lot of Christian stuff. We're interested in becoming and looking a lot like who? Jesus. Spiritual growth looks like if what you hear takes you away. How many of you guys have ever thought, you felt like it was God's will to, email someone and or say something to someone that maybe wasn't the nicest thing to say? And you have to ask yourself, is this email going to make me look more like Jesus, or does this email take away the Jesus inside of me and make me look like I'm pretty far from him right now? Is this conversation edifying and uplifting? Here's a litmus test for you. Philippians says this: in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. God, I want to hear your voice so I can think and act like you. And if what you're doing is taking you away from acting and thinking like Jesus, then maybe you're not hearing his voice very clear. In 2 Corinthians, it says we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. James says it this way. We'll talk about this more in a couple weeks. But the wisdom that comes from heaven. How many of you guys want wisdom from heaven? Yeah. Direction from heaven. The wisdom from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, then considerate, then submissive, then full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. How many of you guys think those are good adjectives? Yeah. How many of you guys think if those are the adjectives you have in your life, you'll probably look a little bit more like Jesus? Yeah. Submissive. You're not always bucking the system. Not always trying to do things your way. What does your boss think? What do your leaders want? Well, if you want authority, come under the authority you're in. If you want Jesus, I think he had all the authority on heaven and earth. And yet, after God spoke to him at 12 years of age, he told his parents, when they found him in the temple courts, he said, Dad, Mom, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? But the Bible says he submitted to his parents' authority and went home. Why did he have authority? Because he submitted to his earthly authority. Some of you want authority. You want to rise in your ranks in the military or other places. Unless you submit and serve the dream of the person above you, you're going to be bucking the system. And no one wants God's. You might get elevated with man's thing by bucking the system. But true authority comes when it looks more like Jesus. And you're submissive and there's fruit. And there's godliness and there's peace and there's consideration. And impartial and sincere. Ask yourself the question, does what I do make me look more like Jesus? When you hear God's voice, it's going to make you sound and look more like Jesus. So before you send the email, before you make the phone call, before you confront, say, God, I need to have your words so I can look more like you through this difficult season and circumstance. The next filter is, does godly counsel agree? Godly counsel agree. I want you to circle that word agree. See, I always tell people when you're trying to find God's will, it's almost like a stoplight. How many of you guys like stoplights? How many of you guys hate red lights? Raise your hand real high. How many of you guys like yellow lights? Because yellow lights to you means go faster. A few of us. Okay, I always tell people, break down God's will, a stoplight. And I've got some folks, I've been in trouble now by saying this publicly. Some of the snowbirds, the husbands use my illustration as an excuse to go through every yellow light. Their wives are like, stop it. My pastor says they're of the devil. So don't use my my talk as a permission to run yellow lights. But I always tell people, green lights are go, red lights are a stop. And there's a whole bunch in the Word of God that gives you the green lights and the red lights, but you won't know the green and red unless you know His Word. It's the yellow light issues that you don't know because the Bible doesn't speak directly to it. It's the yellow light stuff. And I always tell people, when you get to a yellow light, look for the cops. And when I say that, what I mean by that is look for the godly counsel that gives you the agreement to go or to stop. In other words, you're at a place you need wisdom, you need insight. I love what Proverbs says. The ways of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Some of you have pushed out all of the mentors and the leaders and the people of authority in your life because you've done it all on your own. That's all you kind of want to buck the whole thing system. And I think there's wisdom that comes when you say, God, I need to listen to advisors. Proverbs chapter 19 goes on and says, listen to advice and accept what? Discipline. And at the end, you'll be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. In other words, when you're at a place and you're trying to hear God's voice and you're confused and you're frustrated, call some godly counsel. Here's a key word, godly counsel. And say, can I get some wisdom from you? Now, here's the challenge. Some of you don't call the godly counsel because you already know what you really want to do. Your mind's been made up, and you know they're going to tell you godly counsel, so you don't even call them anymore. And so be careful. If you truly want to hear His voice, you can't always have your mind made up before you call godly counsel. I remember, you ever had a leader say something to you that really hurt? A few years ago, it would have been probably 10 years ago now, I was tasked with taking the camp that our denomination, our fellowship of churches owns called Little Beaver Camp, and in the Wasilla area, it had lost 50 to 70 grand a year for years. And in fact, it had never been in the black until about 6 years ago. And I was given leadership of this camp, and I remember I was putting, 16, 18 hour days in to get the camp ready to open back up, and we'd done a big marketing campaign, and sometimes marketing is like the advertisement, but sometimes marketing is just getting your elbow grease and cleaning your facility up and getting it to where it markets itself. And so I'd been working long hours and had some challenging staff situations, and my superintendent would call me and say, how you doing? I'd say, man, I'm just tired, man, I'm tired. He pulled me in the office one day and said, I said, it's hard to work with some of these folks I'm working with. And he said this to me. He said, Mark, every time I call you, you say you're tired. He said, but don't use tiredness as an excuse to quit leading. And that hit me hard. It hurt. My boss had just told me, Mark, I think your tiredness, you've kind of used that excuse not to lead. And I had to go, oh, snap. How many guys have ever had godly counsel kind of say something that provoke you to grow as a leader or as a wife or as a husband or someone else? You need that. It says, listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you'll be counted among the wise. So who do you go to when you're stuck between a rock and a hard place? One reason I became the pastor of this church is because I called a couple of my advisors. First one was my boss, Bill Welch, our superintendent for the Assemblies of God. And Bill said, let me pray about it. And he took me out for breakfast the next day and says, Mark, I give you a blessing to put your name in to pastor that church. I really feel in my heart that the best way to impact our state is to have healthy pastors in our churches. And I called up Wade Goodall, a good friend of mine. He's spoken in his pulpit before. And he says, Mark, he said, Fairbanks is the type of place where you can grow a church to where you can become a city influential church. He said, in a community that size, if you become a vibrant, healthy church, you can impact an entire community. He said, so I think it would be great for you to pray and seek God as to your will. And then we just came and we let our name stand and we got 100% vote. And I always joke and say that was the last time I'll ever get 100% vote here. But I'll tell you what happened is we just knew that it was the right thing. Which leads me to the next principle, the next litmus test for how do you know the frequency of God? Is this God? It would test the spirit. How do you know? So if you have a couple of your mentors that are godly who say, I would steer away from that. I see something you don't see. You'd be wise to heed their advice. Fourthly, though, the fourth filter is, do I have peace? Now, in other words, does my knower know? How many guys have ever gotten into a situation over your head, but you just knew that you knew that you knew that you knew you were supposed to be there?
Yeah, that's right.
You know? And the Word of God points to maybe the principles of how and who to be and all that, but you're just going, I want to call this, for the lack of a better word, the peace of God. In 1 Corinthians, it says this, for God is not the author of confusion, but of what? Peace.
Yep.
Now, does that mean there won't be difficult circumstances? No. I can tell you right now, the last 3 years and 8 months passed from this church, there's been some difficult things I've had to kind of walk through, some difficult, painful situations I've had to walk through, difficult, painful people I've had to, you know, and had to walk through some situations, but I had that peace that passes all understanding that guards my heart and mind. It doesn't mean things will be easy, but you'll know that you'll know that you know you're supposed to be there. How many of you guys know you don't always wake up euphoric about the spouse you wake up on the other side of the bed from? No one's raising their hand right now. You're lying to me right now. How many of you guys wake up sometimes and go, what did I do? Not every day. Now, if it's every day, you need some, probably get some counseling, some help. There's some wise counsel out there, okay? Sir, that woman you married is your standard of beauty.
Yeah, that's good.
Philippians says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Now, why do you start out with prayer? You're anxious. Don't be anxious about what? Anything. What's it say? With prayer and petitions, make your request known to who? God. Not everyone else on your speed dial. You're anxious. When you're anxious and you go, first of all, to God. Hey, it's the bottom of the ninth. Bases are loaded. And you're anxious because the bat's in your hand. But all of a sudden, you go to God in prayer, and all of a sudden, you bring up a batting average that God always hits the ball, home run. You call for a switch order, and you have Jesus go to the bat, because you know he could come through. Because you're anxious, but through prayers and petitions, you bring his batting average up, and all of a sudden, you realize, maybe I'm not as over my head as I thought I was, because I've got someone who's way bigger than a problem before me, and behind me, his name is Jesus. And I brought up his batting average, and he always gets it. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That word understanding is a Greek word that literally means human reasoning. You guys ever been somewhere where it just doesn't make sense up here? But you know that you know down here. It doesn't make sense when you're human reasoning. But there's a peace that goes on. And it says it transcends the understanding and it will guard your heart and your mind. So when I talk about, do I have peace? In other words, you can be in a circumstance and a situation that defies all human reasoning for you to feel confident in God, but you feel confident in God. What? Your heart and your mind. How many of you guys know you need the peace of God to protect your heart and your mind? You need it. And how do you get that peace? You get that peace because the shepherd's voice says, walk this way. And you know that you know that you know. It transcends understanding. But God is leading you and directing you and your knower knows it. I had someone joke once and says, well, do you think Jesus felt peace going to the cross? I don't think Jesus felt peace going to the cross. I think he was in a lot of turmoil. He said, take this cup from my lips, but not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And the peace that transcends all understanding guarded his heart and his mind, and he went to the cross because you were on his mind. The peace of God. Regardless, your heart, your emotions, your mind, your thoughts. Frequency is cutting through the noise. And I want to stop here for a second. We've talked about frequency as hearing the voice of God, but there's a whole other word for frequency, a whole other usage. Right? Like, how frequent do you frequent Facebook? How often do you go back to the same thing? See, frequency can be tuning your ears to the noise, to God's voice and cut through the noise, but it could also be, it could describe how often you go back to the voice. How frequently you frequent it. See, frequency also speaks to the rate of the occurrence or reoccurrence or constancy. How frequent is your frequency of listening and spending time with the shepherd so you know his voice? The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Why? Because they frequently spent time in his pasture. So I want to talk about how this frequency as an occurrence. And three thoughts as we close this week is, number one, let's tune into God every day. Let's frequently tune our frequency toward heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily. Daily prayers for daily needs. Early in the morning I will rise up and seek you, Lord, David said. John 10 says, when he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they're familiar with his voice. Why are they familiar with his voice? Because they spent time with him on a daily basis. We call it this, we call it devotions. And maybe you're new to Christ. And one of my, we had in my life group last summer, I was somewhere, I stayed afterwards a while to talk. This guy says, Mark, you talked about devotions. What's devotions? This person didn't grow up in church. Maybe that's you. You haven't grown up in church. You don't know what it looks like. It looks like opening your Bible up and beginning to read the Bible so you begin to understand how God's voice sounds through his word. It means you get up and you communicate to him your needs and you pray. And how many of you guys want to know when you pray, God hears your prayers? So tune into God every day. Number two, tune out things that oppose God. They won't follow the stranger's voice, but they will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. So the more you tune into God's voice, the more you're discomfortable or uncomfortable with the things that would take you away from his voice. Sheep didn't follow the other voice because it was strange. It didn't sound like it. For some of you, I want to encourage you. Some of you, your biggest challenge in going forward with your faith is the friends you hang out with now. My daddy always said, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Some of you want to grow in Christ and hear the frequencies of heaven. But you've got to maybe distance yourself from the crowd that's pulling you away from God on a consistent basis. Tune them out so you can tune into him. Life groups are a great place for some of you to start to say, I got to meet some people different, maybe of a different tribe, because I got to make some changes in my life, but I'm hanging around people who it's harder to make those changes around. Thirdly, take steps toward what God has spoken. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I want to encourage you. The greatest way you can be sure that God continues to speak to you is to obey the last thing he said to you. When you obey the last thing he said to you, to whom little can be trusted, more can be given, the Bible says. And so for some of you, God's been speaking. He's kind of been prodding you. He's been nudging you. He's kind of been whispering. He's been kind of pushing you to go a certain way. Respond to him and follow him. And guess what happens? The closer you get to where he's pointing you to, the more you'll hear his voice. And I think every one of us in here wants to hear his voice. I'm convinced that every one of us in here, there's a God-shaped void that's been calling us toward him since we were born. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's hard to hear what he and his spirit are saying if you don't have a relationship with him. So before you leave today, I want to help you. Maybe some of you begin a relationship with Jesus. See, the Bible says it's appointed once for a man to die and after that to face judgment. I say it this way at True North. There's an expiration date on the milk carton of every one of our lives. We're not promised tomorrow. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. So maybe you're here today and you've never begun a relationship with Jesus. I always say it's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit you've sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned. How many of you guys in here have ever sinned? Raise your hand real high. You've ever sinned. If your hands aren't raised, you're lying. We've all sinned. You took cookie from the cookie jar when you weren't supposed to. You sped when you weren't supposed to speed. Ran a yellow light. No, just kidding. I turned red. We've all sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Admit you've sinned. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son named Jesus to die on a cross for us. So whosoever believes in him will not perish. God assumes the expiration date in our life will come. And here's the reality. We're eternal beings. There was a day you did not exist. But the moment you were conceived, there'll never be a day now you don't exist. A, admit. B, believe. And C, confess. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. If you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, frequency starts when you say, God, I want to hear your voice, but I want to have a relationship with the man behind the voice. I want to know you, Jesus. And sin marred our relationship with God, and we need to come back and begin that relationship. You're here and you want to pray that prayer with me. You want to pray and say, God, I want to commit my life to Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room this morning? I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray that God would, that the frequencies of heaven, you'd turn your ears, that you would know his word. You'd have godly counsel. Lord, I pray for everyone here. God, we desperately want a relationship with you through your word. We want to hear heaven on our behalf. God, we need that. Now, if you're here and you want that relationship, you want to start that relationship with Jesus today, or maybe you used to serve him, but you fell away and lost traction, just pray this prayer silently in your heart as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I admit I've sinned, but I believe that you died on the cross for me. So Jesus, please forgive me today. Be my Savior and my life leader. I confess my need for you. I confess my sins. But I'm so thankful that you forgive me of my sins. So please forgive me. Help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.